The purpose for being alive is to choose what I want to experience and go for it. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. Other people call it paradise. Other people call it heaven. And we call it just where we are. Bringing you the thought for today entitled, The Purpose for Being Alive is to Choose What I Want to Experience and Go for It. Now, how many of you and me have done this? Choose what we want to go for and experience it and go for it. And unfortunately, basically none of us have. We have dreams, but that's, you know, way out there. The dream to have a happy home. The dream to have enough income to live comfortably. The dream to be in an ideal spirit-minded body. The dream to have relationships with our family and our friends and the world that are harmonious and supportive. Those are way out there, you know. That would be nice, but that's paradise. That's heaven when you're there. And that's right. So, today, we're going to spend a little time on going into heaven. Now, are you ready?
Yes.
Yeah. You say yes, but are you ready to leave behind all of your friends? All of your friends like, I haven't got, I ain't, I'm sick. See, these are all friends that we've had for years and years and years and years. And we've held on to them because we're devoted to that friendship. We owe them something. They've stuck by us through thick and thin. And aren't we fortunate? Well, now is the time to take a new point of view. Now just pretend you're a mother. And your son goes off and does some dastardly deed. And gets put into prison because he shot somebody or some other unfortunate thing. Now, you're the mother. And the seed doesn't fall far from the tree, you know. So you're the mother. Now, somewhere along the line, you failed in training that child in the values of life. That's just all it is. You failed somewhere. You were given the privilege of training that child in the values of life, and you didn't do it. It's not my fault. He got in the wrong crowd. How did he get into the wrong crowd? Did you ever teach him about the right crowd? Did you ever teach him values? Did you teach him to say no, as the saying goes today, say no to drugs? Say no to alcoholism? Did you teach him that there are a lot of things out there in the world of sex, like AIDS and other things like that, that could be very distressing? And you have to teach him to be very cautious in his relationships. Not that the people in the relationships are bad, but the condition you don't want is that AIDS. You don't want the venereal diseases. You don't want, perhaps you don't want a child. You haven't gotten married. You didn't choose to have a child. And you don't want a child. You just want to have a friendly relationship, you know. Have you taught them about that? No, you haven't. Have you taught him about sex? Have you taught him about the value of having sex and that sex is nothing more than having a cup of coffee with somebody? It's a friendly relationship. It's a loving relationship. It's a joyous relationship. But it's not love. It's just having a relationship, doing something together. You play tennis together. You have sex together. My God, Herb, how gross you make that sound. No, you make it sound gross. You make it sound gross by making sex to be something that it's not. Well, what about the Bible and sex? The Bible doesn't say a thing about sex. The Bible only says, be true to yourself. The Bible only says, listen to your heart. Walk your own way. Know yourself. Plato, Socrates, Aristotle, the Buddha, Lao Tse, Confucius, I could go the whole list. They all say the same thing. They all say the same thing. And it has nothing to do with morals. It has only to do with something that is beneficial to you. Now, you didn't do that. And so now you're unhappy that your child is having a problem because you didn't do your training exercise with that child. And your training exercise should have been a training exercise, a training exercise, a training exercise, a training exercise, until he learned how to do it in the potty. Yeah? And once he learned how to do it in the potty, he had it made. Okay? So, the training exercise, how do you live your life? What sort of example have you given your son or your daughter or your family? Have you had what you call morals? The morals are of no consequence, but have you done what you felt was right? Have you given him an illustration of what you felt was right? Or is he doing the things that you're doing, God damn it, and by the way, you know, the things that you were saying, and then all of a sudden you're unhappy with him? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you trained him. You trained him. And he says these good, nasty, or wonderful things based on what you have trained him. A musician is not going to be a musician from the standard point of view unless he practices. Unless he practices what he's supposed to do. Now, we have historically, super historically, not been taught by our grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-great-grandparents, and on back into antiquity. We have not been taught these things. But there is something inside of us that tells us that it's right. And those of us who are sensitive to what is right and good and what is not beneficial, we sort of are the banner bearers for the rest of the world. Because you go over to Nigeria and their methods of doing things are a little different than they are in New York City. And you go over to Fiji Islands, they're different again. You go over to Japan and they're different again. You go over to Europe. Europe? Yes. Europe is different from the United States. It always will be. Like I've told you many times. All the geniuses and all the rebels left Europe and came to the United States. And all that they left behind were the people who were just willing to do the status quo. Ha, 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 ha. You know, Europeans love me. No, the thing is, the rascals left town. And they came to America, and they found that being a rascal wasn't all that cool. They wanted to have values. Not morals, but values. Now you say, well, morals and values are the same thing. They could be. They could be. But generally, they're not. Generally, morals are sex and things that are right like that. And values are what can you get out of it? What can you give to it? What's going to happen? You know what a value is? A value is the law of cause and effect. Whatever you do, you're going to get a response equal to it. Whatever you say, you're going to get a response equal to it. However you act, you're going to get a response equal to it. It's just the way the law of cause and effect works. Now, we say here, my purpose in life is to be alive and to choose what I want to experience and go for it. We have recently as last 3 or 4 years, 2 or 3 years, we have seen the greatest people financially in the United States come tumbling down because they thought they could violate the rules. They knew the rules. They knew the rules of corporate leadership. They knew the rules of corporate ownership. They knew the rules where you cannot take advantage of people. You have to be honest with people. And of course, being honest with people sometimes is taking a big advantage of them. But you have to be honest with people. And the big CEOs, the corporate executives, they came tumbling down, not perhaps because they themselves were part of the conspiracy to defraud, but because their company was in the process of defrauding. And they sit up in their ivory tower, if you will, their educational ivory tower, where they live in the area of unawareness of what's going on in the lower levels. And lo and behold, there's a lot of shysters on the lower levels who are doing these things. And the people on the upper levels are sent to prison, are fired or thought badly of and given a bad name because of that. Well, now, Ellen, do they deserve what they got? Why? They were responsible. You see, that's the word. They were responsible for their children. If they're running this corporation and they have a megalith of people doing things, they still are responsible for what they're doing. They're responsible for how the business is being carried out. And if the business is being carried out in a nefarious, illegal, improper manner, then they must stop that right away, because you're not going to do that in my house. How many mothers do you know? This is years ago, of course. How many mothers do you know when their son wanted to bring the girlfriend over and stay overnight? And she says, not in my house. She says, if you get married, that's fine. But you're not going to come over and use my house as a whorehouse. You know, you're not going to do that. That's not in my world. She says, I don't care what you do else outside. That's your business. But not in my house. My house, we respect marriage. We respect a relationship of sex. We respect our family. What your little brothers and sisters going to think about you coming here with your girlfriend? They're going to think, hey, that's cool. You know, when I get bigger, I'll just bring my girlfriend and boyfriend over here. You know, we'll just have a ball, right? And if you're the corporate president, the CEO, if you're running the show, if you're the mama, you cannot allow in your house, in your business, activities which you say you do not endorse. Because whatever you allow going on in your house, you have endorsed. Now, let's take that mama and son and girlfriend. If the mother had really taught her son values, she would have taught him that sex is just like eating candy or doing anything else. There's a time for it. And as my mother said to me, she says, the time to have sex is when you get married. She says, your body doesn't need that. You only think you need it. Oh, but my hormones are ready. They're crying out saying, go and do things. Yes, your hormones are doing them. And your heart is crying out for relationships. Your fingers are crying out for cash, money. You'd love to pick up all the money that you can find lying around anywhere. But that's not the way it works. That's not the rule. You see, ethics, morals, right and wrong, they reach out into great fields. And if you are immoral, unethical, if you are a liar or a cheat in one area, you can be quite sure you're a liar and a cheat in many other areas. You're a liar and a cheat in any area you can get away with it. And if that's the case, then that makes you an insincere, incapable person to take responsibility. You see, a person who takes responsibility is one who is not interested in immediate gratification. Because you don't get immediate gratification in training children or in training the employees of your firm that honesty is what we do. You don't do that. And that's a problem. That's a problem. My wife, too. She is extremely honest. My son's extremely honest. But there are little black and white areas in there that get into trouble. And when she didn't admit to having some extra income, then it's backfired. Now, it is months later, almost a year later, it's backfiring. And so she called the Social Security offices and finally just spoke up and said, this is what I did and this is what happened. What is the call? What is it called? Is it called fraud or is it called something else? And the people at the Social Security office said, since the check was written direct to the doctor, it's a gift. and it's not fraud, you didn't have to report it because it wasn't income to you. It was a gift. And gifts can be accepted. Now, she was very frightened because she thought she had done something bad and evil and wrong, and she had. She had done something bad and evil and wrong. She hadn't reported it. And if she had reported it and taken the burden of it at whatever time she did, and if it meant that she lost a few dollars or something, that's fine. But, you see, when we try to hide something, and I don't think she was trying to hide it as much as she was just not aware of what she was supposed to do, but when we try to, when we don't take full responsibility for the role we're playing, we have trouble. Sam, did your mother ever send you to the store to buy something and you came back with some other things besides what she told you to buy? And how did you feel about it? Did you feel happy with yourself? Or did you feel I got away with it? Or did you feel that, oh boy, Mom's going to give me a 1-2 for this because I was supposed to only buy the loaf of bread and not buy a bag of donuts too, you know? Yeah. So, you see, these are things. We had a young man that we were staying with him, and we asked him to pick up a couple shirts for us. And so he took quite a bit of money and went in to pick up the shirts, and he thought, well, what the heck, I'll buy a couple extras. So he bought about, we asked for six shirts, maybe he bought about a dozen, and all the money was gone. Now, it's not the point of the shirts. It's not the point of the money. It's the point of the principle. We believed in him that he would be responsible. He wasn't cheating us or stealing from us. He just bought extra shirts, you know, and thought surely we'd like to have them. But that's not the point. Whenever we deal with a person, we say, this is where we stand, this is where you stand. Are you willing to be part of that program? And if they are, then that's great. If they're not, then that's trouble. But you see, apparently his mother never taught him those things. Apparently his father never sat on him and said, son, you follow directions. Son, when I send you to the store to have my shoes fixed, I don't expect you to have your shoes fixed too. I expect to have my shoes fixed. I've only got enough money for my shoes. So you tell the shoemaker, do half mine and half his. Well, Dad wouldn't be very happy about that. But if Dad lets him get away with it and says, hey, that's pretty cool, boy. You fooled us all, you know. Fooled anybody? He's a reflection of his father, not standing up for principle. If we don't stand up for principle, who will? And what is principle? Is principle the individual laws that we make as we go along? Is principle some metaphysical law that stands beyond all these things? Principle is always, at all times, doing what you in your heart feel is right. It cannot be anything else. Because if it's going to be the law of driving at a safe speed or doing this or doing that, that's all relative. Even driving on the freeway is relative. I was cruising along the freeway and all the cars were going 80. And the police car was cruising right in the midst of them, all going 80. And I thought, well, you know, when you're in Rome, do as the Romans do. You flow with the cars, because if I start slowing up, I'm going to inhibit the traffic and make everybody unhappy. And that's not very good either, because then people start doing silly things, turning in on you and sort of, ah, we'll show that guy. He's just slowing down. He's not doing right. When we are taught balance and harmony, to go with the flow, not if the flow is going to be dangerous or injurious to anyone, but to go with the flow and be part of life and live it beautifully, harmoniously, and now, then we've really got it made. Yes, the purpose for being alive is to choose what I want to experience and to go for it. What do you want to experience? Do you want to experience the highest and best that you can? Or do you want to experience what's passable? And unfortunately, many people want to experience just what's passable. Well, yesterday I was having such a crabby time with you because you were all saying, "I can't believe it. Well, it's astounding. It's unbelievable, you know." And your incredulity was just outrageous because you don't do that. You say, "Wow, that is great." But you don't say, "My God, I never thought that that would work." You know, what you are saying is that your average, normal way of thinking is incredulity. You do not believe something is going to happen. You believe perhaps just the opposite is going to happen. Something good happened to me? My goodness sakes. I mean, and nothing's been going my way for years now, and all of a sudden something good is happening for me. Why is that? Don't ask. Why is that? Ask. And the answer is, you are starting to believe that you could have this wonderful thing coming your way. You're starting to believe that you're worthy of it. That's the wrong word to use there, but you believe you're worthy of it. You believe you deserve it. But the law does not give things to people who deserve it or who believe they're worthy of it. The law gives things to people who put the cause in motion to let the law respond. And so it does. This is the magic of living a very special and a very wonderful world. This is the magic of living with yourself and having the best and the highest results. Now, there's not much you can do about having been a poor parent or having had parents who did not train you. There's nothing much you can do about people who are unaware of sex and its problems, unaware of money and its problems, unaware of relationships and its problems. There's nothing much you can do. But what you can do is you can say, "I am divinely guided in all that I do. I surround myself with my pure white light of love. All my ways are peace and all my paths are pleasantness." And when you do that, then the divine in you says, "Okay, I got permission to go ahead now." And anything that is for your good, the divine in you says, "Go for it." Anything that is going to distract you or harm you, the divine in you makes you feel uninterested in participating in that. Do you understand? The divine in you takes away the enthusiasm for doing something that's not beneficial to you. And that's what it does. But let the divine in you rather be the inspiration for all the wonderful things you want to do. So think big, think wild, think outrageous, and have fun. And remember that the purpose for being alive is to choose what I want to experience and to go for it. Not to take in between strokes, but to choose what I want to experience and go for it. And this is what you can do. This is what you do all the time. This is what life is for you. A happy fulfillment of all the desires in your heart. Now, I see each one of us, including me, I see each one of us experiencing the desires of our heart right now, fulfilled in rich and beautiful ways, and we don't have to run and search for it. It's right there. Right there. It's been there all the way, all the time, just waiting for us to recognize it. But right there it is. So we say thank you to our inner self, and so it is. I love you, I love you, I love you.